Welcome to the Grace Baptist Church podcast, and thanks for joining us for this episode. Before we begin, please take a moment to subscribe on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you listen to podcasts. If you enjoy this content, please don't hesitate to leave us a five-star review and share this podcast with your friends. We'd like to extend an invitation to you and your family to join us for worship this week at Grace Baptist Church. We'd also love to connect with you online at graceketering.org. Thanks again for joining us, and enjoy the episode.
Wednesday nights, we're just taking opportunity to go through different parts from our Bible reading. If you're reading through the one-year Bible, you will have read this verse in the past week, and it is one that I think bears some thinking upon, some meditation, and so I hope that it will be a help and encouragement to you. Maybe it already stood out to you. If you're not reading through your Bible or following some sort of plan, I want to just encourage you. Get into the Word of God every day, and if you're off a plan or if you've kind of gotten a little bit lethargic in reading the Word of God, I want to encourage you to do so. It will give you health. It will give you spiritual health. That, along with a gathering together with believers, is something that will protect you spiritually. It really will. And I can look at people who have made the Word of God a daily priority, and the gathering with God's saints, with the church, a priority, and they will weather many, many storms, many spiritual storms. So I encourage that to you, and just want to exhort you and urge you. Satan will go after your time in the Word constantly. You're fatigued, too tired. There's things that, I don't know, I woke up Monday morning, I told my wife, I can't even get focused, you know, to read. You know, and sometimes you get that way, and at some point in the day when your mind settles down, you need to be in the Word. So, I mean, we all deal with it in different ways, and I deal with it as well, but the importance of being in the Word. And that's not just for young people, that's for all of us people. So very good. Proverbs chapter 12 and verse number 24. Proverbs 12, verse number 24. And let's go ahead and look at this. Proverbs 12 and verse number 24. 25, actually. Your notes, the screen, they're all wrong, all right? 25. Heaviness in the heart of man maketh it stoop, but a good word maketh it glad. Let's read that together. Heaviness in the heart of man maketh it stoop, but a good word maketh it glad. Now, let's consider the reality that all around us, we constantly hear this word anxiety. People have anxiety attacks. I'm dealing with anxiety. All around us, we constantly hear about anxiety. People feeling that and it being a reality. And sometimes we can be, perhaps, some of us could be dismissive of that, like, well, it's not an issue. But the Bible does speak about anxiety. And we see it a little bit here in this passage tonight. Most of the time, anxiety is something pretty internal. It's something that goes on in my heart, my mind. It's something that I deal with, and most people couldn't say, oh, well, he's dealing with anxiety, except for the fact that anxiety does quickly show up in our facial expressions and even in the tone of our voices. It very quickly will evidence itself in those ways. Now, the Proverbs are just brief wisdom statements, wisdom sayings that God has inspired for us. He's given them to us today to guide us into applying His truth into our lives. Wisdom is the right use of knowledge. It's the proper or skillful use of knowledge. And so when we take God's truth or what we know from the Word of God and we apply it right, that is wisdom. We can have knowledge and not use it, not put it into action, not use it in a right way, and that's foolishness. It's foolish to be arrogant that I know a bunch about God's Word. That's foolishness. Wisdom is, I know God's Word, and therefore I'm going to put it into action. So we all want to be wise, right? Wisdom is all throughout the book of Proverbs. They're wise sayings that God intended for us to have. Solomon wrote these, God used Solomon to write these, as he looked back over his life, and he realized, well, that didn't work, I should have listened to God, I should have applied God's truth here, and I would have been better off. And so a lot of it came from his observation of his life in learning the hard way. Now, how many of you understand that? Wouldn't it be nice to be young and have wisdom? I mean, to have the experience of life. And Proverbs teaches us that Solomon, he came all the way to the end of his life, or towards the latter end of his life, and he's sending back to his son Rehoboam. He's saying, hey, listen from me. I learned these things, and if you'll follow these, it'll really help you out. And if we will follow them, they'll really help us out. And so this particular proverb, Proverbs 12 and verse 25, heaviness in the heart of man makes it stoop. That's a common observation. That's a very real observation. And I want us to think about this matter of anxiety. Anxiety in our nation, they say that some 27% of Americans say of themselves that they deal with anxiety, that it is a reality in their lives. I thought it was interesting how that even through the pandemic that there was a rise of anxiety, especially among teens. There's an uncertainty that came. I found it also interesting that anxiety seems to plague women a little bit more than men. Some 30% of women say that they face it more than men at 23%. But most people feel anxious or stressed in the work environment. Many people, 94%, say at work, I feel stressed. I deal with that. So the reality is, all around us, we have people who deal with anxiousness, a burden on them, and it's a reality all around us. We hear it. It's not just a total figment of society, just the imagination of society. It's a real thing that people face. Now, the Bible says that heaviness in the heart of man makes it stoop. Anxiety causes depression or a sadness or a gloominess that rolls over our hearts and our minds and our lives and our voices, our expressions, and all about that. I want to talk about that and break this apart. The word heaviness really is that word anxiety, or to have care. The New Testament word, the Bible says, and we'll see this, be careful for nothing. Don't be burdened down with anything. Don't be anxious with anything. So heaviness here is this unpleasant emotion. It's akin to worry that's experienced. It comes on when I'm anticipating that something is going to go wrong. Something isn't right, and I'm worrying about it. And so you get loaded down with that. How many of you deal with getting loaded down with worry from time to time? Right? We all deal with that. Sometimes you wake up in the morning, and it's just like right there. And it's real. You feel it. And it's like, where is this coming from? You go into the day with that burden, how important it is to get into the Word and get the right perspective. Some people, when dealing with anxiety, focus on, someone broke it down in this way, that 40% of the things that an anxious person will focus on will never happen. 30% focus on what can't be changed about the past. How often we worry about what's happened in the past. We get anxious. We get unsettled about the past. 12% about the criticisms others have said, mostly untrue about us. What are they going to think, right? 10% about health, which normally gets worse with stress. 8% about problems that will be faced, about real problems that will be faced. The reality is, much of what we worry about and get anxious about, and those around us get anxious about, are things we have no control over. And so the Bible says that heaviness or anxiety in the heart of man makes it to stoop. What's the idea of stoop? Well, I think we can get the mental image, right? To be weighed down. Do you know what it is to be weighed down by a burden? Weighed down by a worry, weighed down by an anxiety, to be oppressed, to be disheartened, like this idea, to be alienated, to feel often alone and on your own, like no one else has this issue, I'm the only one that's facing this, to be disturbed. There's no peace. There's a bunch of ripples, there's waves, there's struggles, there's turmoil, to be saddened, to be weighed down. And the idea of this is to be stooped down continually. It's a state that I get into, and I'm there. It might be a day, it might be a week, it might be longer than that. But I'm there, I'm stooped down. And so heaviness in the heart of man makes it to stoop. So anxiety in our heart
absolutely will go on, if left there not dealt with, it absolutely will go on to affect us physically. Medicine has studied that and looked at that. It does. And it's amazing how many of the physical things that we as Americans deal with are rooted back to some sort of spiritual or internal reality, an internal thought process. They say that anxiety can impact not just our physical, but our mental health. It can affect us in our cardiovascular, our urinary, our digestive, our respiratory. It can increase risk of infection. Did God know what he was doing when he told us, hey, don't be anxious? Why? Because being anxious absolutely troubles us even physically. The kind of the symptoms of that, the feeling nervous, the tense, the fearfulness, the restlessness. We hear about panic attacks. I'm not dismissing any of this that I'm talking about. I'm saying these are realities. Anxiety in our heart causes us to stoop. It causes us to face all this stuff, the rapid heart rate, a fast breathing, hyperventilation, sweating, shaking, fatigue, weakness, dizziness, all these things that can be a result of anxiety in our heart. Heaviness in the heart of man maketh it to stoop, to be burdened down. It was George Mueller who spoke about anxiety. If you've read anything about George Mueller, what a man of faith he was. A missionary in England, ran an orphanage, and prayed in thousands upon thousands of dollars, millions, to provide for these orphans. There are stories where he would have the orphans at the table, seated at the table, and they had no food, and he would pray and thank God for the food they were about to eat, and God would answer with a knock at the door, the milk truck breaking down outside. Those type of answers to prayer, the bread truck, etc. And he said this, the beginning of anxiety is the end of faith. The beginning of true faith is the end of anxiety. What we need to realize is the world doesn't have the safety net or the support of Jesus Christ. They don't have the promise, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. They don't have those promises ringing out in their heart. You and I do. We have access to the Word. We have access to the assurance that God is there. And what George Mueller was saying is when we can't be anxious and faith-filled at the same time. Now, certainly, and I should say, there are physical realities. There's physical imbalances that can happen. But much of what we deal with in getting anxious is a spiritual reality. It's we need to get our eyes back onto our Creator who says, I have you in my hand. I have control of what's going on. I've not lost sight. What does Psalm 121 say? Why don't we go back there for a moment? Psalm 121. This is a good psalm when we're feeling anxious. Psalm 121, it's a song of degrees. In other words, they sang it as they went up to worship at the temple. So as they were walking up to Jerusalem. Jerusalem was on a mount, so from every way it was walking up. And so as they ascended up to Jerusalem, they would sing and say this psalm, this song, this worship song. I will lift up mine eyes, Psalm 121, I will lift up mine eyes unto the hill. From whence cometh my help? My help cometh from the Lord. What do you notice about Lord? It's all caps. Jehovah, the ever-present one. My help cometh from the Lord, which made heaven and earth. Oh, if he made heaven and earth, if he's that powerful, he's certainly powerful enough to take care of the thing that's in front of me. He will not suffer. He will not allow thy foot to be moved. He that keepeth or guardeth thee will not slumber. Behold, he that keepeth Israel shall neither slumber nor sleep. He doesn't go to sleep. He doesn't hit snooze on your problem. The Lord is thy keeper. The Lord is thy shade upon thy right hand. The sun shall not smite thee by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord shall preserve thee from all evil. He shall preserve thy soul. The Lord shall preserve thy going out and thy coming in from this time forth and even forevermore. What a psalm of assurance to Israel. I got you. I have you. And anxiety creeps up in our hearts when we think, well, I got to take care of all of this. I got to figure my way through. I have this problem. I have this sickness. I need to figure it out. No, God can help. And that's what he was telling Israel. I am there. I'm with you. And so the beginning of anxiety is the end of true faith, and the beginning of true faith is the end of anxiety. May we put our hearts and minds towards the Lord Jesus Christ. He has it. He has it. So God didn't intend for us to live a life full of anxiety. He did not intend for your heart to be filled up with anxiety tonight or this week. He doesn't. And he tells us what to do about that, right? Philippians chapter 4 and verse number 6, do you remember? Philippians 4, 6, be careful for nothing. Well, he doesn't mean absolutely nothing. That's what he says. Be careful for nothing. And what's the next part of that? But in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. So what's the answer to anxiety? Yeah. He goes on to talk about some praise. And he also goes on in verse number 8 of that chapter, what are you thinking about? Whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are of a good report, whatsoever things are lovely, think on these things. And the God of peace shall keep your minds, right? What do? We think on what's the worst possible way this thing can turn out. Guys, we get there too. We get all nervous. What's the worst possible way? And then we're absolutely miserable to be around. Anxiety can do all sorts of, you know, numbers on us. So the reality is, God tells us not to be anxious. But that's not the point of this psalm. This psalm is not saying, is not giving us an instruction, or this proverb is not giving us an instruction, don't be anxious. It's just simply saying that heaviness, anxiety in the heart of a man or a woman makes it to stoop, it makes it to wilt, makes it to be depressed. What's the converse here? But a good word maketh it glad. Here's the thing. God already told all of us in the Psalms, we're not to in the Bible, we're not to worry, we're not to be anxious. He's already given us that instruction. But isn't it nice when we're dealing with that, when we're struggling, to have someone around us that'll help us up? You and I are relational beings. We're not islands to ourselves. It's one of the reasons it's not wise for us to think. We all have the Word of God in our hands tonight. But it's not wise for us to think that you can just throw a Bible verse at a person and expect it to all be okay. Right? God tells us to obey some things. He tells us to be anxious for nothing. That should be enough to shut off our anxiety. But you know what? It's oftentimes not. Not because God's word's not sufficient, because we struggle. We're weak. I mean, walk up to somebody and, you know, hey, stop it. Just stop being anxious. That's what God's word says. Stop being anxious. You're going to get a long way, right? So what does the Proverbs say? What does Solomon say unto us? What does God say by inspiration? He says, a good word. A good word maketh it glad. A good word helps out. So here's the encouragement that I want to give us tonight, is that you and I, being relational beings, ought to be able to look for those that are stooping in their countenance, stooping in their heart, and look for a way to bring a good word into that person's life to help them to obey what God has already instructed. Don't be anxious for anything. To help them get a leg up, to come alongside and be that brother or sister that encourages them. So an appropriate word causes delight. An appropriate word causes delight. Now that's exactly what that word good means. It's fitting. It's the right choice. It's the right tool for this occasion. You ever had someone give you the wrong word in the moment? Have you ever given the wrong word in the moment? I have. And about the time it comes out, you realize, oops, that wasn't the right thing to say. Right? Guys telling your wives when she's struggling, just calm down. Probably is not the right thing to say. So we've all been there, but the Bible says use an appropriate word. Use a good word, a pleasant word, a good word. Doesn't mean you deny the truth or you tell a lie or anything. It just says use a good word, an appropriate word in that moment. A brief statement. Give something that would be encouraging to that person to lift them up. Now, it's interesting. It says that they'll be made happy, they'll be made glad, and just like stooping is kind of a state of mind, a continual place that an anxious person is, so isn't those that receive a good word, their hearts are made glad, also a continual state. It's encouraged, and they go on from that moment walking in that glad state. So your words have power. My words have power, and we should use them in a good way. And it doesn't matter. You know that on Saturday when we had the egg hunt, and there were people all over in here, and every seat was filled, and there were people across the back, and many just folks that we'd never met before, and it was such a blessing. But I remember. This one teenager, and I didn't catch his name. It happened really, really fast, but he just walked by after I preached the gospel, and we'd given instructions, and we were dismissed, and he shook my hand and looked me in the eye and said, "Thank you." I don't know who he is, and I'd like to, it just happened so quick, and everyone was moving out, but I'm telling you what, you don't have to be an older person to give a good word. You don't have to be of the same age to give a good word unto someone else. You can give a good word, an older person to a younger person, and boy, doesn't this generation need a whole lot of good words. Amen. Right? The reality of what we've even talked about a little bit on Sunday, we touched about some of the unruliness that we've seen even in our own community, that isn't going away, friends. How do you deal with that? And how do you deal with a generation that is so anxious and there's so much turmoil? We need to be ready with a lot of good words. Certainly we know the gospel is the best good word, right? It's the good news, and we ought to be ready with that. But a good word of encouragement, just being human, right? We all have similarities. The lost and the saved, though, believers and unbelievers, we have a common human condition, and we can empathize with one another in just our commonalities, giving good words to them. Now, it's interesting. We can see someone stooping, and sometimes we can criticize. Well, they seem pretty grumpy today. Well, if they would have listened to me, it would have turned out a lot different. And we can say some things that are pretty sharp, right? That's not what the proverb is talking about. It's a good word, not a critical word. Well, I could have predicted that. I saw that one coming, right? The reality is that we could say something that would be true or critical in a moment when we see someone stooping. Solomon's saying, no, let's say a good word. It's a good word that makes it glad. A critical, sarcastic word can wound for life, can it not? No doubt you can remember some words that have been said towards you that were critical or sarcastic that have stuck in your craw for a very long time. You might have forgiven the person, but you still remember that was said. A good word can encourage and motivate for a very long time. People can run a long ways on a good word. A long ways. Now, James 3 and verse number 9 says, speaking about our tongue, therewith bless we God, even the Father, and therewith curse we men, which are made after the similitude of God. It's with a tongue we have a choice. We can either bless God, and we can bless God, and at the same time we can curse, or we can hurt, we can criticize, we can give a bad word towards somebody. Wow, the power that's right inside of our mouths. And so how important it is to give a good word that will make the heart glad. A careless word, one poet said, a careless word may kindle strife, a cruel word may wreak or wreck a life, a bitter word may install may hate and still. A brutal word may spite and kill. A gracious word may smooth the way. A joyous word may light the day. A loving word may heal and bless. A timely word may lessen stress. Right? Timely word, a good word, an appropriate word. Go back up in Proverbs chapter 12 and verse number 18. Verse number 18. There is that speaketh like the piercings of a sword. There is that speaketh like the piercings of a sword. Someone with a sharp tongue. Ouch. Right? It's just cutting constantly. But the tongue of the wise is what?
Health.
It gives life. It builds up. It encourages. It helps. There was a great painter. His name was Benjamin West. He was a young boy, and he went to draw a picture of his sister, and so he gets out all the ink, and he's about ready to do this drawing, and he gets into it, and he makes quite a mess, like a little boy might do with ink. Sounds like a great recipe for disaster. His mom came in upon this scene and saw all this mess, and her words were, "What a beautiful picture." And she kissed him. He later on in life said, "That kiss made me a painter. That kiss made me a painter." It was her words in that moment, her attitude in that moment that really changed everything. Words have power. Words have a lot of power. They can either add to the stress or they can take away from it. They can either encourage or they can tear down. And Ephesians 4 and verse 29 says, "Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, building up, that it may minister grace unto the hearers, that it may minister favor, encouragement, strength, God's strength to the hearers." And so all of our words need to be good words so they might make hearts glad. Now again, I just say that the gospel is the best on good word. It makes a heart glad. And as we speak of the goodness of God and the grace of God and the love of the Lord Jesus, we can change people. We can help them have a happy heart, a delighted heart in the Lord Jesus Christ. And so I want to just encourage us tonight. Let's make it our goal to be ready with good words. Not critical words, good words. Words that would build up and make a stooping heart perk up again. My question to you tonight is, can you think of somebody in your life right now that needs a good word? Maybe it's at work. You know they had a rough day. They got chewed out by the boss. They're in trouble, and they need a, "Hey, keep going. It's going to work out." Maybe it's a family member who made a poor choice, but they need a good word. All the other family is telling them how foolish they were, and they need a good word from you. Maybe it's a neighbor who's going through a difficult time. They need a good word. Maybe the Lord's putting that person on your heart. Before you go to bed tonight, text them. Give them a good word. You know, one of the best ways that you can give a good word is find a scripture that has meant something to you along that line and send that scripture and say, "I'm praying for you." But give a good word. And if the Lord put someone on your heart, listen, God doesn't put people on your heart just by accident. Satan does not put people on your heart to encourage. Satan doesn't do that. He might tempt you to discourage somebody or to nitpick somebody, but he's not going to put someone on your heart and say, "Why don't you reach out to them?" That's God. That's the Holy Spirit giving you a prompting. Follow through on that. Give that person a good word. Very, very practical. But let's just become experts at helping a stooping heart be glad through a good word. And I believe the Lord will help us to make that practical. Even tonight, with somebody, whoever's on your heart, do it. Do it. Before you go to bed, do it. Might be a note that you write. Put it in the mail. Do it. And give a good word so that you might make a stooping heart very, very glad. Let's pray. Father, would you prompt us as your people towards the people that we need to give a good word? Lord, perhaps there's someone here tonight that needs a good word. And I pray that you would enable us to encourage them even as a church family this evening. I know our sister Kim needs a good word. And Lord, it is to think she was just here in the States just a month or so ago, and to stop everything and come back up here. Lord, she has the confidence, the hope, the blessed hope that her mom is with you, because Rose had placed her faith in you, and we praise you for that. But she still needs a good word. She's weary. So Lord, I pray that we'd be able to give her that good word. Lord, there's folks on our prayer list that need a good word. Some older folks who haven't been able to be out in a while, they need a good word, Lord. So I pray that you would just prompt us as your body to be that. There's going to be people at our workplace that need a good word, and certainly many that need the good word of the gospel. And so, Lord, we just ask that you guide us, be our guide, and thank you for your word and the clarity of it, the practicality of it. And so would you just use this in our lives, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, go give some good words to the people.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To learn more about Grace Baptist or how to have eternal life, visit gracekettering.org. And remember, you are always welcome at Grace Baptist Church.